You know, we are in a series right now called Overcomers, and there is a guy by the name of Christian Herder. He is a former governor of Massachusetts, and he was campaigning all day long to get reelected. And he'd been running, didn't have time to eat. And so he's worn out. And by the end of the day, he's there at a church and they have a chicken barbecue. And so he's in line just like everybody else is. And he's standing there and the chicken lady, she gives him one piece of chicken. Now he's hungry and he says, "Can I have another piece of chicken? Because I'm really hungry." She says, "No, sir, only one piece of chicken for one person." And then he's like, "I don't normally throw my weight around, but I just said in this moment, I'm kind of desperate." So he said, "Do you know who I am? I am the governor of this great state of Massachusetts." And she looked at him. She says, "Do you know who I am? I'm the woman in control of the chicken." "Move along, please." That's what she said. And I love that because it brings up a situation that all of us are wrestling with ever since the Garden of Eden. And here's the question. Who's in charge? Who's in charge? And Satan came along to Adam and Eve and every single human being since, and he says, "Take charge of your life." And this resonates with us. And so if you turn on your podcast or your radios or your TV screens or even your phone screens, it's all about expressions of the same God, and that God is called control. And so I'll just be honest with you, just a moment of confession. I can preach all kinds of things and maybe I struggle with them to some degree, but I'll be honest with you. If there's anything I really struggle with that I don't want to preach on, is this one today. Because this right here, I am being honest with you, I have spent too much of my life bowing down to this false God called control. And I know I am not the only one. I think a lot of you would say the same thing. In fact, maybe in some sense, we all could, because I believe we all have what I call empire desire, right? Empire desire. There's something in all of us that wants control and wants our personal kingdom to run the way we wish it would. And to illustrate this, I want to tell you a story out of a great theologian, and his name is Dr. Seuss, okay? And he wrote a book called Yertle the Turtle. How many of you have ever read Yertle the Turtle? Raise your hand if you ever read Yertle the Turtle. Okay, so if you see this picture, you see Yertle, he is the king of the turtles. He's on top of his pond. And he was unhappy because he thought his throne was too small, and he wanted to have more of a rule so his control could be more expansive. And so Yertle had the idea of calling all the other turtles to his throne to stack them on top of one another so that his throne would increase, and the more he could see, the more he could rule, the more he could control. Now, this didn't just make all the other turtles very happy. In fact, it was very stressful for them, and they began to complain. Now, Yertle did not have much use for complaining turtles. You see, his attitude was that he's a dictator, he's large, he's in charge, he's in control. Now, we're going to go back to our story in just a moment. But let me just say right now, there's a little Yertle in every single one of us. Amen? And when you turn on the TV and you hear the words from, I don't know, Burger King, you know, "Have it your way," that advertiser is not just talking about hamburgers, by the way. He knows, and they know, that's just how we like to function. Have it your way. We have a great desire to establish order in our lives. And so we experience great frustrations when our plans are challenged or even threatened. And so we pursue this means or this end called control at all cost, even if it means we do unhealthy things to try to create that control. For example, one reason many of us are materialistic or workaholic is because we have bought into this lie. And so we believe if I can accumulate more stuff, then that means I'm untouchable, that I'm in control. And so it's one of the reasons we have so many relational problems, because we resort to manipulative relational ploys trying to maintain control. It's why a mother or a father has such a sharp temper and they explode on the people in their house, and those people in their house live in fear because at any moment they could just explode, right? And why don't they deal with their temper? I'll tell you why. Because a fear of explosion gets them their way. Like they establish control through fear. or people who use, I don't know, silent treatment tactics, right? You ever met somebody who's done that? I've seen grown men do that. And they'll be to kind of do the silent treatment thing, like they're back in junior high or something like that, and not even talk to someone, or someone nags. Why? Because they can get control. And I think it's significant. The first time the word kingdom is ever used in the Bible is Genesis chapter 10. And it's not actually talking about God's kingdom. It's talking about a man's kingdom. His name is Nimrod. Now, there's a reason why we don't name any of our sons Nimrod, okay? Because the Jewish Targum actually talks about this guy. It says that he was rebellious and that he was very, very wicked. And he was all about establishing his own kingdom. But his rebellion was infectious, and that led to Genesis chapter 11, where you read about the Tower of Babel. The whole world is now in rebellion against God, trying to get control. You see, it's not just turtles that have a lust for towers. And so man is going to build a tower to make a name for ourselves so we can, you know, assert control. We don't ever want to allow God to send a flood and control the advancement of humanity. And so our activity is going to take charge. And I think it's very interesting. In the story of chapter 11 in Genesis, it ends with God toppling over this idol. In fact, it's humorous because God is up in heaven having a conversation with the other, you know, heavenly bodies. And he's basically saying, look what man's doing down there. He's building a tower to take charge. Let's go down there and take a look at it. Basically, he's saying, it's so puny. We can't see it from up here. Let's just kind of go down and see what they're up to. And I want you to consider how puny the God named control really is to what I call reality. Control versus reality of life. You see, experience has a way of teaching us that something we don't want to admit, that we can only control what counts for very, very little. Every day our lives are being significantly impacted by people or by events that are out of our control. So let's just kind of go back to our story. And so Gertel is up on the throne, and back down at the bottom of the stack is a little turtle named Mac. Now Mac has got the weight of all that on top of him, and his body can't take it anymore. So all of a sudden, Mac finally just bursts. And when he does, the entire kingdom is upset. Take a look at the next image on the screen. Gertel is cast off his throne, and his kingdoms are now in disarray. And here's a lesson and the truth of the matter. You're just one burp away from reality, aren't you? You and I are just one burp away from reality. But that's what control counts, right? Our control counts for very, very little. Without question, there is somebody sitting in this room, maybe it's me, that a year from now will be battling a significant war against cancer. You don't know that, and it may be me, I don't know that. We don't see it coming right now, but from a year now, that could be one of our stories. Or maybe right now, there could be a workforce situation that causes downsizing or job loss, and you don't see that coming right now, but from a year from now, you could be in a huge financial crisis. Someone else in the room right now, you don't know this, but you're going to be holding a brand new baby a year from now that you didn't see coming. Some of you, I guarantee you, somebody is going to be walking down the aisle with committing their life before God to someone else, and they don't even know the person right now, but a year from right now, you're going to get married. Here's the reality of life. Life refuses to be managed, doesn't it? Life refuses to be managed. Most of the good things that have happened in my life, I did not orchestrate, and most of the bad things that happened in my life, let me tell you right now, I did not anticipate. Solomon understood this. If anybody was in position to control life, it was him. He had all the money, he had all the power, he had all the fame and the wisdom and the resources, and yet he could not control life. And he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look what he says. I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. Now, let me give you my own personal theory here. I think God has kind of rigged the whole world to operate this way to remind us that we are the creatures and we are not the creator. We are creatures. We are not the creator. There is wisdom. Understand, life is not tameable. And there is foolishness to continue to bow down to this God called control, knowing you're going to spend the rest of your life frustrated by a goal that you'll never reach. And I want you to also consider how puny the God of control is compared to, you know, basically reality, but also the God of control is puny versus the reign of God. Versus the reign of God. Look at this right here. You were born, church. You were born in someone else's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. We even want to use God, you know, to control things, don't we? You know, like if God's job is like God's job to be our divine waitress, and he does whatever we want him to do every time we pray. You know, well, you need to know this. God never leaves his throne to sit by you on your couch so that you could tell him how to run the universe. That ain't going to happen. In fact, scripture says this in Psalms 115. It says, our God is in heaven. He does, say with me, church, he does what? Whatever pleases him. Look at Psalms 135. I know the Lord is great. Our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does, say with me, church, does what? Whatever pleases him. In the heavens and on the earth and the seas and all their depths. Now, what's he saying? He talks about these different places of his creation. He's saying, where are you going to go? The highest high, the lowest low. The tallest mountain, the lowest part of the ocean. Find me one single spot where God doesn't say, right here, I'm large and in charge. That's why I think one of the most important verses in all the Bible is the first one, when it says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning who? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. It took four words for the Bible to tell you who's calling the shots, who's in control. God is never threatened. God is never surprised. There's not one time when you open up his word and you see God say, oops. It ain't going to happen. He's in control. You know, I think about several years ago, a famous songwriter, her name is Twyla Paris, and she wrote a lot of songs that we used to sing years ago, and she is driving to her mom's house, and she is just overwhelmed by what's going on in the world, like many of you are right now. She just feels like everything is out of control, and she is just totally disturbed, and then she starts praying to God in this moment of anxiety, and all of a sudden, God just impressed upon her these words right here. God said to her, Twyla, men can do whatever they want all day long, but at the end of the day, I still have complete authority. And some of you need to hear that right now. Men can do whatever they want all day long, but God is saying to you, I still am in control. And so she normally writes her songs behind the piano, but on her way to her mom's house, she had a song in her heart, and that song is called God is in Control. And here are some of the lyrics of that song. This is no time. This is no time for fear, she said. In the song, she said, this is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose a vision here, carried away by the motion. Hold on to all you hide in your heart. There's one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose, remember, and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside him. We know that God is in control. The main concept of scripture from the first verse to the last verse is this right here. The Bible is constantly calling us to surrender control to God. Surrender control to God. And by the way, this is not just resigning your life. This is not living a passive life. This is accepting reality. This is about being honest about life. And you know who gets this more than anybody else I know? Is people in recovery. What's the first thing you learn when you go through recovery? I must admit that I am powerless. I'm not in control. And I need to surrender to a higher power, the Lord God Almighty. And that will's got to be stronger than my will. And some really good things begin to happen when you decide to topple the God of control. So let me close by talking about three things I'm praying about for you and for me if we will surrender control. One thing we'll learn is this, and that is you will love better. You will love better when you surrender control. Now, as a recovering control freak, let me give you one constant frustration control freaks like me live with. You ready? Here's the constant frustration that control freaks live with. And that, here you go. Ready? It's people. People. People will not do what I want them to do. They won't do it how I want them to do it. You see, in my empire, I like to call it the kingdom of Nathan. There is order that has to be established. And there's a flow chart. And if everybody would follow my flow chart, I promise it would be better for all of us, okay? And so in my kingdom, there's different states. There's many states. And one of my most important states is a state in my kingdom called office. And in the office, people don't call me when I'm trying to do research on a lesson. And they don't knock on my door when I'm working hard and drilling down in the text and saying, can I have 5 minutes? And they never want just 5 minutes. And I don't get any ugly emails anymore. All is in order. And what that means, it means that life is good in the kingdom of Nathan in the state of office. There's another office in my kingdom, and that is called dining out. And when I get there, I'm immediately seated. My waitress is always polite, and she can't keep my Coke Zero full enough. And even though I have a special request to my order, it shows up promptly on time, and it's just like I want it, and it tastes great, and the people around me are not loud, and they're not obnoxious. And when I ask my bill, it comes promptly. And what does that mean? It means all is under control in the state of dining out in the kingdom of Nathan. And then I go to my most important state in my kingdom, and that is a state called home. And when I walk in the door, there's a Coke Zero, you hear the theme, a Coke Zero right there waiting for me, poured by my lazy boy. And I get in my lazy boy, and there's a remote, and it's right there waiting for me. The big game is already on the TV. The British Open is on today, and Sam Burns is going to win it, or World Cup, Argentina is going to win tonight. I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's already on. And from the kitchen, I hear a voice, and I hear, honey, I'm fixing you a snack. And when I'm done, I'm going to come rub your shoulder. You know what that means? It means I've walked into the wrong house. None of that happens in my life. See, the truth is, I've walked you through a dream world, because in none of those states in the kingdom of Nathan does it work like that. Like, all of the states in my kingdom are in rebellion right now. And when you worship a God named control, other people always be the problem, right? Hold up your hand. How many of you right now have somebody in your life that's frustrating you because they just won't let you fix them? Raise your hand if you got somebody in your life right now you're frustrated with because they won't let you fix them. I've got at least 25. But I started thinking, what if it became God's job to fix them? And my job to love them. What if it's God's job to fix them and my job to love them? I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, we don't go around preaching ourselves, but who? Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves as, say with me, church, as what? Your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, that means if Jesus is the master, then I am the servant. I'm just a servant. Listen, if other people are always putting you in the wrong mood, it's a sign that you put Jesus in the wrong place. If people are constantly putting you in the wrong mood, then you have put Jesus in the wrong place. Because when you surrender control, I promise you this, you will love better. Next thing you're going to do when you surrender control is you are going to live bolder. Because the dominant promise of control is safety. The illusion is, if I just control things, then I'll have security. And that, it seems, is our greatest value. When I look around the world and I look at people, it seems like most people I look at are just trying to find a safe place to die. Now, I'm going to take a burden off of your mind right now. You are going to have a nice funeral. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I do hundreds of them, okay? You're going to have a nice funeral, and we will come, and we will look at your body, and we're going to say nice things, and then we're going to eat some chicken salad, and then we're going to go home. It's going to be really nice. But then, how will you be remembered? Because while you're still alive, people are telling you, don't risk too much, keep control. Don't give too much, keep control. Don't sacrifice too much for the kingdom of God, keep control. You got to play it safe and take care of your own empire. At someone's funeral, I've never heard someone say, you know what? They just lived too hard for Jesus. You know, they were just too bold for Jesus. They took too many risks for the sake of Jesus Christ. I've never heard that. Why? Because we weren't meant to live underneath the tyranny of timidity. We were created to live courageously because of our conviction that this world doesn't get the last word because God is in control. Amen, church? I think about Paul. He's under oppression in a place called Corinth, and God talks to him. Look what God says in Acts chapter 18. Look at the first four words. Say it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Say it with me. Do not be afraid. One more time. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking, Paul. Do not be silent. For I'm with you, and no one's going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. In other words, he's saying, Paul, I reign over anything threatening to take you under. Now, what does that mean? It means if I would believe that, is that I could start doing the right thing without worrying that I can't manage the outcome. Like, I'll do the right thing. When someone needs to hear my faith in Jesus, I will share it. And I'm not going to be worried about the outcome because that's not my job. That's God's job. My job is just to share it. When I started preaching and I started looking at what God's word says, I started getting a little worried because I'm like, God, if I say what you really say, it's going to upset a pocket of people in my church. And then they're going to cause me problems and grief all week long. And so I'm worried about saying what you want me to say. And then it's just like God just said, you just say it and I'll handle the outcomes. See, here's the truth. You don't and I don't control people and we do not control outcomes. Someone more qualified than you and me already has that job. And it is liberating. Listen, it is liberating to live life directed by your convictions instead of your fears. It is liberating to live life because you're driven by your convictions more than what you're scared of. You will live life braver if you'll surrender control to God. And number three, you will praise bigger. You will praise bigger. See, control freaks act as if their circumstances are more important than God's command to rejoice. They convey this idea that they have the right to disobey the word of God because of the magnitude of their responsibilities. And it goes something like this. Okay, God, I know what your word says. Your word says, rejoice in the Lord always. I get it. But you see, I'm responsible for so much right now that's just out of control. And I don't have to obey you, God, until my life gets more manageable. And consequently, when life gets out of control, these people, they run out of praise. So let me ask you, when you've lost control, has God lost his throne? When you've lost control, has God lost his throne? Is God less worthy of being told who he is just because you can't manage life today? You know, the cross seemed like everything was out of control when Jesus died for you on the cross, didn't it? But it wasn't. God was in complete control. And one thing we learn is that there's nothing we go through that is irredeemable to God. God can take anything. He's so sovereign. He's so in control. God can take anything that you're going through right now. And because of the power of his spirit, he can work in your life and bring glory to himself. And so, if God's in control, I can believe that my life is purposeful even when it's not tameable. I can praise God even in the middle of the storm. Psalms 43, the psalmist says this, why am I so discouraged? Some of you are discouraged right now in the room or online. You're so discouraged. That's what the psalmist is saying. Why am I so discouraged? Like, why is my heart so sad? And then it flips and he says, I will put my hope in God. Say it with me, church. One, two, three, say it with me. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Yeah, let's give God the praise for that. Amen. Let's give God the praise for that. Years ago, when Rachel and I were in Phoenix, we did ministry together in a prison, in the only female prison in the state of Arizona. And every time before I would speak, I would lead worship. Now, let me tell you right now, I'm not like Pastor Ty when it comes to leading worship with the rest of the team. They got the four-string quarterback when they got me, okay? You know, it's kind of hard to get people to sing sometimes, but not these women. They would raise their hands up high. They would sing with all their might as they praise God. As I'm sitting there and you know, strumming my guitar and we're singing together, it hit me. They are under no illusion that they're in control. Like, they don't decide anything anymore. Somebody else makes all their decisions while they're in prison for them. And in that moment of desperation and complete loss of control, guess what? They're learning to praise God. They're learning to praise God. So here's my question before we sing again, before we praise God. What part of your life is out of control right now? What part of your life is out of control right now? Be honest. Is it relationship? Is it finances? Is it health? Right now, every one of us has something in our life that just won't be managed, right? The question is, which God are you going to worship while you deal with the uncontrollability of life? Which God is it going to be? Is it going to be the God called control? Is it going to be the God called the Lord God Almighty? Are you going to praise God even in the middle of the storm? And I want to tell you right now, when you worship with all your heart, which I pray that you come tonight and that you'll kind of go, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to control everything. I'm going to show up here tonight and I'm just going to set time aside and I'm just going to worship with all my heart. Let me tell you right now, when you worship God with all your heart, know that you are tearing down the idol called control. Amen. When you worship God, you're giving up control. We're going to sing a song. It was written by a guy named Matt Redman. He is a pastor from England. He was here in the States when September 11th happened. And in that moment, many of us who were alive remember, it seemed like everything was out of control. And he's like, I want to respond in worship. Out of my heartache, I want to respond to worship. But then he realized we don't have, he said, many songs of faith for when life is out of control. And so he wrote one. And it comes out of Job, and it's called Blessed Be Your Name. No matter what, when it's good times or bad times, blessed be your name. We've been kind of using this for the last several decades as Christians as an anthem. And I want you right now, I want you to sing it with all of your heart. But before you do, I want to ask you a question. Is there something in your life where you need prayer because it's just out of control? Can our team pray for you? Our crosses are open. The far left, the far right, our crosses are open. Will you come up and receive prayer about that area of your life where you're trying to control it, but you need to surrender it to God? Or maybe today what you need to do is give control of your life to Jesus Christ. And you need to admit that you're not Lord, but He's the Lord of your life. You're not the Savior, but He's the Savior. If you'll accept Him as your Lord and Savior, I promise you, you'll receive grace and forgiveness of all your sins for all time. All you have to do is head the cross. I encourage you to do that. Repent, be baptized. Do that today. Don't put it off. But I want to say this. You do have control over one thing, and that is what you will worship. Will you worship control, or will you worship the Lord God Almighty? Will you stand right now? Will you worship control, or will you worship the Lord God Almighty? I pray that we choose well. Can we give God praise right now? Can we just give Him praise? Can we worship Him together? Hey, please come right now. Please come and surrender control to God, the crosses, as we worship together and sing with all of our heart, Blessed be Your name. Please come.